Good morning, brethren. I say thank you for that beautiful special music. I had my heart rate down until that came. But it's actually going to fit in perfectly what we're speaking on. It keeps being said that here we are on the last and seventh day of the feast. I like how Mr. Miller put it, the saddest day of the feast. But you know what? Maybe you can agree with me. Even though it has flown by at record-breaking pace, the time we have spent here has been impactful. There's not one message, there's not been one interaction with our family that hasn't touched us and is forever ingrained inside of our hearts. And we'll leave here with those memories because it's been an honor. It's been a great blessing to be in the midst of a people who are committed to the truth, those who desire to be part of this one big loving family in the household of God. How can you spend this amount of time and not feel that and feel like you're part of something greater than you by yourself could ever be? So often when we come to the feast, and we experience this joyfulness, it's the unseen, those behind-the-scene activities that make it so peaceable, so it's just so memorable. Bad word. I can't say those words. My mouth is dry. Sorry. But they ingrain in us. Now, I'm not talking about those who do the ushering, those who do the audio, those who do the coordinating or planning of events, but the unseen hands, those unrecognized things that go on behind the scenes, is the people who come with an attitude of peace, with a desire to participate in unity. And that's everyone in this room. Everyone in this room has been here and participating in that unity. And that is what makes this feast a feast that we can't forget. Because as we all know, it's not what we get out of the feast that touches our heart. It's what we each put into the feast that touches our heart. So since this is the final sermon of the Feast of Tabernacles, I thought we'd reflect on what we each have experienced over these last few days and the joy that it has brought to our lives, as well as how we each have an opportunity to bring this level of joy to everyone in our lives, everyone we see, not only our brethren, but everyone we touch throughout our lives. And I thank that special music because it's going to lead in perfectly to the first scripture as we start building on that. Psalm chapter 19. If you would please turn with me over to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19 and verse 1. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." We saw those pictures. Displays the mighty hand of our God. And in Romans 1:20, you'll have to turn there, well-known scripture where it says, "For since the creation of this world that you and I are so blessed to experience each and every day, our God's invisible attributes, his majesty, can be clearly seen because they behold his wonderful glory." You and I have had this opportunity to experience this Feast of Tabernacles on this beautiful little island. A glimpse of that majesty. The beauty found here certainly declares the glory of our wonderful Father in heaven. The hand of that Word who designed it with us in mind. So I have a few questions to ask you this morning. And if you would please raise your hand if you can answer yes. And if you would please keep them up. It's only a few questions, but if your hand does get tired, I understand. You can change them out. Because I want to see how much we've been affected. How many of us in this room has had the opportunity this week to witness one of our beautiful southern sunsets, our sunrises over the ocean, over the marsh? Wow, that covers. I don't have to ask anymore. But I'm going to keep going. Who's had the opportunity? Keep them raised. Keep them raised. Who's had the opportunity to walk on those soft, sandy beaches? Felt that sand get between your toes? Who's walked down to the water's edge and felt the waves rush over your feet? Relax those aching feet from all that walking on that soft, sandy beaches. Who's taken the time to feel and breathe that salty air? If you got hair, let it run through it. If not, let it touch your skin and get that refreshing feeling. Who took the time to listen and hear the sound of those waves crashing on shore on the rocks? The sound of the sweet little birds singing their beautiful songs. Who actually took an evening walk, heard the crickets, heard those cicadas, and witnessed God's wonderful creatures coming out to play under that big, bright, silvery moon? Who enjoyed all the special music this year? Who enjoyed all the fellowship? Singing praises each and every day. Listening to the messages. Family day, teen, senior, all the activities. Who enjoyed having that extra second tithe to come and buy, eat our heart's desire without much worry? It looks like we've enjoyed ourselves very much. You can put your hands down. We need Aaron and her to come up here and hold some of our hands up. We've enjoyed so much this year. It's been a blessing, been an honor. But with all those wonderful memories, all that joy that's just pumping through our system, I want to ask one more thing. What about the brethren who could not? What about those who cannot experience the level that we have? You don't have to look far. We have brethren in this very room. You don't have to look far to see those who are lacking, those who are suffering, those who are in need. How many of our brethren don't have the blessing of sight to witness one of those beautiful sunrises or sunsets? What about the brethren whose ears are not opened yet, who can't hear that beautiful music, the sound of the waves, or the call of God's precious creatures? How many would just love to shout the praises to our great God, but their voice cannot be heard because they're mute? How many are crippled, handicapped, or become injured, which prevents them from walking on that beach out there, feeling the sand between their toes or the waves crashing upon them and feeling that refreshing water? What about those who could not attend the feast this year? What about those who could not attend the feast in many years? those who are on tight fixed incomes, it took everything they had just to be here this year. What about the brokenhearted? What about those who have lost family members this year or any time, who have their children die on them? Wives, husbands, friends. What about them? There's so many we could name factors that affect so many of our brethren, and quite frankly, it could affect any one of us at any time in our lives. Because we're all suffering to some point or another. Just because there's a smile doesn't mean we're not facing problems. Yes, some suffering is evident, but not all is evident. Although God has placed limits on Satan, he still has been given the time to rule in this world. And that evilness, yes, affects even the very elect. It happens to us. Mr. Kubik put it perfectly yesterday when he said, "This world is being held captive by a great and powerful evil because it's under the occupation of Satan and his demonic forces." And we don't have to look far. We can look outside those doors and see it playing right in front of our eyes, day by day. We see this entire creation groaning, begging for liberation from this dark and evil hold. We see our own brethren, our own family, crying out for help. Our hearts are aching when we see each other suffer, when we see those who are in pain. We mourn when we see those whose trials seem to be endless. Day by day, it seems to get worse. And we know that it could be us one day. But regardless, we all hate any level of suffering. We don't want to see suffering in our family. It's like being here at a feast. On one hand, we are so grateful to be blessed, to experience so many wonderful things, see what God has blessed, the creation, the joy. But on the other hand, it hurts to see those who can't. It hurts to see those who don't have the opportunity to experience what we have. It's a painful struggle within our hearts, because we're compassionate people. We're called to be compassionate. The title of this message is "Thy Kingdom Come," laying our lives down for our brethren. Thy Kingdom Come, laying our lives down for our brethren. If you would please turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to kind of read these three scriptures in a different order. I'm going to start with verse 27 and jump back to 25. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Verse 25, "That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." We feel that pain from our brethren who can't experience what we have because we are connected at the heart. We are bound together by that perfect spirit of our great Father. Now, I'm sure there's not one person in this room who doesn't wish they could reach out and heal someone in this room. Who can't just would love the opportunity to say, that pain is gone. That suffering is ended. We want to see everyone made whole. We want to be able to help take those trials away. We want to comfort those who are broken, those who just hurt so bad. But we understand that we don't have that power. Yes, we show compassion. We are generous. We help where we can. And we do our best to assist our fellow family members with what God has blessed us with. But ultimately, on the most part, we're powerless. And honestly, in the area that most that need help, the area that they are hurting with and suffering in, it goes so much deeper than what we could ever do. Physically, we are powerless. When the world looks at these people, when this world looks at those individuals, and they see the situation of those who have these problems in life, they label them as hopeless. They label them as those who are destined to live a life of pain and suffering, a life with no hope of ever experiencing joy as a normal life should experience. And what makes it worse, Satan is behind the scenes, stirring up those emotions, pouring out that depression upon humanity. But you know what? He is right. If he's left in control, if Satan continues to be in control, this world is hopeless. But we know, we believe with our entire being that this rule is temporary. And Satan has no authority of and by himself. Because we know who holds the true power, who has that ultimate authority. We have hope because we have evidence that there is hope. We serve the one who has the power and ability to bring it in to all that suffering. We serve the very being, the God of all hope, the God who has the most powerful love in this entire universe, a compassionate God. Jeremiah chapter 29, please. Jeremiah 29. We all like to read this section of Scripture. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope." Although God is supreme, a being who inhabits eternity, sitting on high, way up there into heaven on his throne, but he's not a distant God. He's a loving, intimate God. He's right here with us, right here in this room, because he's full of compassion, and he loves each one of us the same. A love that can't be measured. He sees the groanings. He sees the sufferings that we have. He sent his son to show us the love that they both possess. He gave us this great plan to rehearse, to get a glimpse, to show us this time will end. My plan will be God is inspiring us to have hope. And not just to have hope, God is inspiring us to proclaim that hope to the world. Don't just feel it, share it. And the Apostle Paul echoed this in Romans 8:18, where he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they're nothing. They're nothing in comparison to the glory which God shall reveal." Have vision. Have hope. And share that vision. Share that hope. Because until those promises come to pass, God has called us to be those proclaimers, those trumpets sounding the hope for all mankind, to share the hope for those who do feel hopeless, for us personally, so that we don't forget to focus on our mission, on sharing the true promises, of living to those true promises, and not get focused on what we have now. The temporary physical, the money that we have, the physical blessings we may enjoy. God wants us to always remember, just like this year when we come to Feast of Tabernacles, this is temporary dwellings. This is not the end game. This is to remind you that there's something precious. There's something more valuable. And it's the spiritual promises. They are eternal. They are priceless. Even when we think about the return of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, the changing of our mortal bodies to immortality, the millennium, and the eighth day, that's just the beginning. It doesn't stop there. Eternity is on the horizon. A kingdom full of hope where peace, as we heard in the first sermon, what we just were saying, it won't be long now. What we just heard in the special music. A kingdom full of hope, which peace reigns, and there will be abundance of joy and happiness. And of that kingdom, there is no end. There is no suffering. We have that joy. We will have that peace. We will have that with Jesus Christ and our Father for eternity. That's why we're here. That's why we are here this year, keeping this festival, so we can't forget what this time pictures. Not the physical activities, but the spiritual intent behind these physical activities. We're here to be reminded of what it will be like when all those trials, all those sufferings are put away. We're here to be reminded that you and I must be crying out with our whole heart, "Thy kingdom come." Not when I'm ready, but now. "Thy kingdom come now." That may sound simple, but when our hearts join together with our words, that sincere cry to our Father is powerful. It shows that His children are putting their complete trust in their Creator for their future. They're joining as one family, seeking what's best for each other. That oneness that God the Father and Christ share. That oneness that can only be in the kingdom of God. We must be willing to give up our own personal, our own physical desires and seeking what's most important in this life, what's most important for everyone, and that is the coming kingdom of God. Even Christ Himself said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God above and beyond anything else we can do in this life. He's begging, please seek the kingdom. There's not enough books in this world to contain what joy awaits each one of us. Because Christ wanted us to know, as good as it may seem, don't place your hope in the physical. Ground your hope in the spiritual. I want you to think about this. If everything that we loved in this world were suddenly stripped away, would we still love God? Would we still have a hope? That's the reason why we must cry out with our whole might, Thy kingdom come, God, and not allow our hope to be in anything else. If our hope is tied to what we see physically alone, then all will be lost. But if our hope is based upon that which is spiritual, and we sincerely seek it out, we cry out for it, nothing can take that joy away. God tells us, physical blessings, yes, they can be given, but they're not to be the focus of our entire lives. There must be a desire that's far greater in our core, that's beating in our hearts. And that's the foundation. That's hope in the coming kingdom of God. Physical blessings, if you think about it, they often affect us individually. They can touch others, but physical blessings usually touch us individually. But the spiritual promise, the spiritual blessings that come from the kingdom of God will affect everyone. Everyone gets to partake of that joy, share in what it will give them. If you would, please turn over to John chapter 15. John 15, and we often read this at the Passover. John 15, starting in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater joy has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Christ encouraged us and taught a way of life that puts others' needs before ourselves. He taught us what true sacrifice is all about. In fact, he didn't just teach it, he lived it. He set the perfect example for each one of us to follow. His life was one of true compassion, focus on the needs of others. In fact, all of mankind. When we live as God desires us to live, as Christ lived, we're placing our whole heart in the promise and investing everything that we are, everything that we have for that coming kingdom. That's how we lay our lives down for the brethren. Looking forward and yearning for that time when we all have that opportunity to experience that joy as one complete family. That's behind the heart that cries out, Thy kingdom come. We have to have an outlook for others so that we can easily say, without even thinking, whatever I can experience on this earth is not as important as what we all can experience in that coming kingdom. We all need that kingdom. We all need that joy as one family. The goodness that we can experience on this earth can't compare to the greatness that we all experience as one happy family when we see the beauty of God's creation together. 1 John chapter 3. First John 3, verse 16. By this we know, 1 John 3:16, by this we know, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Yes, we have the blessings of God. But what is the ultimate blessing of God? That we all share it. That we all experience it. That we're willing to bring alongside those who can't. Share that joy. Look forward to that time when we all will have it. Mr. Armstrong often refer to this as a way of give. That self-sacrificing life that fulfills the perfect law of love. The greatest gift we can give is crying out as one body, "Thy kingdom come." Because we don't have the power to bring that joy to each other like the power that Jesus Christ and God the Father hold in that coming kingdom. Think about the sacrifices that have been made so that we can experience a joy in part today. Think about what Christ has done, what he put himself through, the pain he suffered. He gave up for a time being there with his Father, where he experienced no pain, where he experienced no need. And he came here as a man to be beaten, to be ridiculed, to suffer even to the point of death, to show us what it means, "Thy kingdom come." He wanted us to experience the oneness that he had. He wanted us to be right there with him, with his Father, enjoying what it means to be part of that spiritual family. That's the perfect example we can follow. When we think about the joy we just experienced this year, we think about the blessings that we have in our lives, how much more joyful would it be if we all experienced it together? If we all, as one body, without any trials, without any suffering, could have that joy exploding from our hearts? What would it be like, all the eyes beholding the marvels of God's creation? What would it be like, all ears hearing the praises through song, the praises of God's precious creation crying out in thanksgiving? No more handicap, no more diseases preventing anyone from leaping for joy. No more mental diseases, no more disabilities preventing anyone from comprehending the truth. All experience the love of a family, having fellowship without pain. No more separation. All our loved ones together as a family, and the only tear that may fall from an eye will be one of overwhelming joy. The thought of pain wouldn't even exist. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Isaiah 35, verse 3 says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God he will come, and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in a desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes." For sake of time, drop down to verse 10. "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Would you please, with that same thought, turn back to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, we're just going to read verses 1 and verse 19. Now I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 26, verses 1 and 19. "Listen to them singing. In that day, the whole land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of salvation." Verse 19. "We have this assurance. Those who belong to God shall live again. Their bodies shall rise again. Those who dwell in the dust shall awake and sing for joy. For God's light of life will fall like dew upon them." What a wonderful time we have awaiting us. It's promised. It will come to pass. And as we reflect and reminisce on the memories we made this year, all the wonderful things that God has allowed us to enjoy, let's be thankful. Let's be joyful. But let's keep in our minds the hope that awaits all brethren, every single one of us, that we can experience these amazing blessings together one day. Can you imagine what the blind would feel when their eyes, the first thing they see is Jesus Christ? When they can see the beauty that they've heard, when they see their family for the first time. How about the deaf? When they hear that beautiful music, they hear the angels sing for joy for the very first time. How about the tongue that finally speaks and can audibly say, "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father." How about the crippled body? We see it in this room. That will stand. That will run and leap like a deer. What about the mind that's been trapped by disease? Or the mind that never was able to be fully developed, that will finally be made whole. And it can think, it can react, it can know the joy that God has for them. How about the years of separation caused by death? Everyone being able to hold their dear loved ones. Think about what we're going to talk about tomorrow, when mothers can hold their children that never had that opportunity. When fathers can be there and see their children. When children can embrace their parents. Where friends can come together once again. Where families can come back together that were once destroyed by the hatred of men's anger and acts of war. There will be a time that joy cannot be contained, a time when joy cannot be measured. We should desire this more than anything that we could experience in this life. Those are the thoughts of peace. Those are the thoughts of a future of hope that God has for His people, for all mankind. And we must share as this, as one body, one family, crying out, Father, Thy kingdom come. When we are in this kingdom, when we finally experience the joy that is in that kingdom, it won't be bittersweet like it is today, because we'll be seeing everyone experiencing that same joy on the same level. That's why we say, Godspeed that time. Bring it now. For a final scripture, if you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we're going to read verses 23 through 25. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us seize and hold tightly the confessions of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is reliable. He's trustworthy and faithful to His word. And let us continually, thoughtfully think of how we may encourage one another in love and also to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging, when we come together, encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as we see the day of Christ's return approaching. Brethren, as we eagerly await this promise, let's keep in mind what's most important in this life today. And that's the promise of tomorrow. Yes, today is a gift, and it's fleeting. It will never be again. So let's take each moment that we have. Be a blessing. Be those who sound the joy. Be encouraging as that family that God wants us to be. Let's take the time to care and be sincere. And may our words be connected with our heart so that we can give hope to everyone, especially the household of God. Let our lives speak louder than what our words could ever express. And as one collective body, you can join me if you want. Thy kingdom come.